Good morning, church.
Good morning.
I love this, the hustle and bustle of God's people. I love that. Did you know that this is the day the Lord has made?
Yes.
There's a second half to that. What is it? Oh, okay. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Are you ready to rejoice and be glad in this day that God has given us?
Amen.
You know, whatever we drug in here with us, did you know that if it's not good stuff, did you know that the Lord wants that? He wants us to give Him that. He wants freedom for us. So let's invite Him into this place. Shall we do that? If you'll pray with me. Come, Holy Spirit. Would you come and would you, Father, would you blow through this place? Would you blow through us? Surprise us and change us, convict us, heal us, whatever we need, Father. You know each one of our hearts. You know each one of our circumstances. We lay ourselves before you. We ask you to have your way with us. May the name of Jesus be high and lifted up. And it's in that precious and holy name we pray. Amen. And also welcome our live stream audience. Thank you for worshiping with us. If you are able, stand as we worship together.
God is good. Our God is good. He's so loving. He's so kind. And even at your very worst, he's here with us this morning. There's nothing you can do to make God run away from you. He's always right there. He's always right there. He's so good. And he's holy. And the beginning of our life is seeing God and his holiness, his kindness, and his mercy. So this morning, church, as we worship, let's look upon our God and his goodness. He loves each and every one of you here.
Oh, to Jesus I surrender.
Savior, holy thine this morning. Amen. Our God is good. You may be seated, but children, y'all come on down for your children's message.
Hey guys, how are y'all? All right. Good to see everybody this morning. Hey. Very good to see everybody. Got a few more still coming up. All right. Are y'all excited to be here today? Are you excited to be here today?
Yes.
All right. Well, I am excited to be here with you today. And so I have my little sack, and I have something in my sack. I have a flashlight. I actually have two flashlights. That's right. You can use it if you're scared at night. So I have two. Yeah, so I have two flashlights. I've got a blue one and a yellow one. So my yellow one, well, there it went. Does it work pretty good? Yeah? Can you shine the light? Can you see it? Can everybody see it? Yes, you can see the light, right? You can see the light really good. Yeah, what about the blue one? Okay, let me turn the blue one on. Well, I don't know. It's still shining in there. It's still shining in there. Does it shine bright?
No.
Can you see the light in the blue one? No, with this, okay, so my question is, so I have two flashlights, and if you were looking for something in the dark, which flashlight would you use?
The yellow one.
Why would you not use this one?
Because you won't see very well.
You can't see anything with it, right? And it wouldn't help you to find anything, right? But it still works, just you just can't use it, right, to find anything, right? So this is the better flashlight to use, right? All right, well, you know, I was thinking about that, and I was thinking, these flashlights remind me of something that Jesus said in the book of Matthew. No, that's all that's in my bag. Yeah. In Matthew chapter 5, Jesus told his disciples, he said, "Let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." Wow, that says a lot, doesn't it? It says, "Let your light shine." So, do we shine Jesus when we go out into this world?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, how do we shine Jesus when we go out into this world?
We obey Him.
We shine it up in the sky. That's right. Do we obey Him? Are we kind? Are we loving? Yes. Are we helpful? Yes. Does that shine Jesus' love? Yes. So, you know, so when we live with Jesus in our heart, this flashlight's just like that. When Jesus lives in our lives, we are like a light that shines for all the world to see. And it reminds me of this flashlight. On the other hand, if we don't shine Jesus' light in love to others, it's kind of like this flashlight. Nobody sees Jesus in your life. Did you know that? Because you're maybe just thinking about yourself. You're not being kind. You're not doing the things that we're supposed to, right? So what does God want us to do? Does he want us to shine his light, or does he want us to just hide his light? Shine his light. That's right. So should we shine? Yeah. Do we always shine, or do we hide behind something? Do we maybe not do everything that's right? Yeah, we do. You shine it up in the air. That's right. So which flashlight do you want to be? Do you want to be the yellow one or the blue one?
Yeah.
The yellow one. That's right. So as we go out this week, let your light for Jesus shine in everywhere you go. Maybe you're going to go to school. Can you help someone at school? Can you tell someone about Jesus this week?
Yes.
Can you be helpful at home? Can you obey your moms and dads? Okay. All right. Can you read your Bible?
Sure.
Can you pray?
Yes.
We can do all of... You just look at the pictures? That's okay. You can look at the pictures. Let me tell you. That's right. So let Jesus' light shine in you this week as you go out to school or to the playground or wherever you're going to go. Be a light for Jesus. Can y'all do that this week? Not just this week, but every day. Okay. All right, let's say a prayer. Okay? Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you that you love us, and I thank you that you give us, that we are your light and that we shine for you. Help us as we just learn to walk in your love and in your truth, Lord, and that we will just be a light for you wherever we are at. Thank you for all these boys and girls and your families, and just bless us as we go through our day. In Jesus' name, amen. All right.
Good morning, church. Man, good scripture out of Matthew 5. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. That's the call on our lives. Well, good to have you this morning. Once again, welcome to those who are worshiping online. I want to remind you to register your attendance with us. That would be helpful. You can do that through our app. This Wednesday night is our Ash Wednesday service, which will start at 7 p.m. It'll last about 30 minutes. Our schedule for Wednesday night hasn't changed, other than our groups will end prior to 7 so everybody can be in the sanctuary, but the meal is the normal time. Our ministry time is the normal time at 6 p.m. So come join us. That's also always a great service. If you'd like, you can stand and let's affirm our faith together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Universal Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. We had our men's summit Friday evening, and we got home about 5:30, 5:45 yesterday afternoon. It was really an awesome time. Our fellowship in Wiley Baptist and Mount Zion Baptist, and we had a gentleman from Buffalo Gap Baptist and another gentleman from Beltway. It was really an awesome time. Men, do you agree that you were there? You agree? All right. Yeah, it was good. Joseph Smith is going to share from his perspective. You did know this, right? Yes, he did. I went and asked his permission. I didn't want to just call him out of the crowd. So I told him about 2 minutes to share what he thinks the Lord did from his perspective.
Thank you, Billy. And my name is Joseph Young, Joseph Smith. I did grow up Mormon, but Joseph Smith's a little... That's okay.
Yeah, this is Joseph Young.
My wife kind of poked at me as I was coming up here, too. Your name is not Smith. So. Anyway, I'm a little nervous since I just got voluntold to come up here. But I consider it a distinct honor to get up here and tell you about my experience at Men's Summit this year. The theme was freedom in Christ. And being there with 100 other men, almost at capacity of the facility where we were at, and listening to 100 men sing Amazing Grace, it gets to you. We had 4 separate speakers, and we would break into round table discussions, into breakout rooms, and we would discuss certain points about each speaker and their testimony and what we could take as men of Christ out into this broken, hurting world. It was truly moving for me, getting to fellowship with other men from other churches, discuss their faith, their walks of life, and what we can do better as men in our homes, as fathers, as husbands, as co-workers, as managers, as leaders, and hopefully to shine the light that this world so desperately needs. It was a wonderful, wonderful experience. So this is my shameless plug for next year's Men's Summit. Women, if you need 24 hours to get your men out of the house and do some good, and for us, for your man to come back inspired, changed, and I'll tell you, the Holy Spirit was moving. It was moving. So just for next year, Men's Summit 2024, we'll be looking forward to it. Thank you for your time.
It was a great time in the Lord. It's great to be with other men that were like-minded from different denominations. That didn't seem to matter. Jesus was Lord. This morning, for our prayer time, we did this in the early service. I think it's something we need to do this service. I want to pray just for revival. Just thank the Lord for what he's doing in Kentucky. And I've heard and read some conflicting reports. I read one Facebook post where perhaps 10,000 people showed up one day, and they're putting in several buildings there, but there's an overflow crowd. I read something that people want to get into the chapel, used chapel, where the revival broke out. There's like a 10-hour wait to get in chapel. There, people are lined up, and it's just crazy, but the Lord's moving, and he hasn't forgotten our generation. Robert Mills and I was talking earlier. The Gen Z generation, God loves that generation because it started with that generation. God hasn't forgotten them. You know, I want to see that in Abilene, Texas. I want to want to see that in Abilene, Texas. I want to see that at Wiley Methodist Church. Not that we're bad people. I mean, these college students were good kids. They were good, solid kids, and they just needed more of the Lord. And he poured his spirit out there, and people are hungry for that. And I think we need to have that hunger too. So as I pray, if you want to come to the altar and pray with me, you're more than welcome to do that. I'm going to give you a little bit of time to press into the Lord, and then I'm going to close us in prayer. So let's go before the Lord and just thank him for what he's doing. Ask him to continue to move in power through the Holy Spirit in Abilene, Texas, and our nation. Lord, we thank you for what you're doing in our day. And Lord, our nation desperately needs you. The church, we don't realize how desperately we need you, Lord, but we need you. And Father, I'm grateful that you're setting captives free. Lord, the people's lives are being altered and changed for eternity. Lord, we pray that your spirit move in power in our day, in our time, in Abilene, Texas, God. God, move in our church. Blow through this church, Father. God, obviously you have a desire for us that we need to catch up to. And so, Lord, I thank you for revealing yourself in just an awesome and powerful and mighty way. And Lord, not so that we can just boast about you're moving here, so God, that people's lives can be changed. That people come to know you, and the people that are walking with you, that they'll have a deeper walk with you. That we'll love better. That we'll extend grace and mercy in a deeper way. Oh Lord, do it for your glory. And Father, I just thank you that you're moving among the Gen Z generation. Very confused generation. And not a Lord, maybe harvesters need to come out of that generation to reach that generation. Lord, I don't know what you're doing there or what you want to do. But I pray that you raise them up. Raise up workers out of that generation to touch that generation. Lord, I'm grateful you're just using common, ordinary people like us. Lord, there's no prominent pastor there. There's no prominent preacher there. There's no prominent praise band there. God, you're just using everyday, ordinary people just like us. God, use us in the same fashion for your glory. God, thank you for surprising us with our need for you. Lord, continue to move. I pray against what the enemy would try to do to quench what's going on there. I pray against what man would try to do to quench that. I pray, God, for incredible wisdom for the people at Asbury University. I pray, God, that you give them discernment as they attempt to keep this going without quenching it. My goodness, those kids still need to go to college. They still need an education. Lord, they need supernatural wisdom from you, as to how to do this thing. There's no pattern here for them to follow. we're grateful for. Oh, Father, we're amazed at how much you love us. We're astounded in regard to the things you want for us. And Lord, just bless us so we can be a blessing to others. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to pray. And Lord, we just pray the prayer that Jesus, you taught your disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I want to remind you that after the service, we'll have several people available for prayer. Also, if you have a prayer request, you can fill out a card and drop those in the offering boxes by the doors. Also, as far as the offering goes, you can text this number on the screen. You can also give electronically, or you can drop your offering in one of the boxes. God bless you, church.
sing this chorus again, but before we do, man, let's ask God for revival. And it's not going to be because we do the right thing in the right way, or based on some formula, or we pick the perfect song, or we say the perfect thing, but because God chooses to move. And we have to humble ourselves before Him. And we just ask God to move among us. I think the Lord gave me this word that, like Elijah or Elisha, and I should know, but I don't, and that's okay because it's about God, it's not about me. But one of them, they were not scared of the battle. And his helper came up to him, and he was afraid of the army that he saw. But I think it's Elisha. He's just chilling. And he said, go and look again. And his servant saw the army of the Lord. The Lord's going to win this battle, y'all. And so I think the word for us this morning is we do not have to fix the culture. But instead, we must ourselves return to God. Because God in His goodness, God in His mercy, and God in His love is the only hope that there is for the world. So us, we don't need to be afraid of what's happening around us. But instead, let's look at the army of the Lord. The angels of God are working in this world. Let's trust Him. Let's have faith in the goodness of God, in the mission of God, in the story of Jesus. And instead, let's live a life of surrender. And surrendering ourselves and committing ourselves, taking responsibility to be imitators of Jesus Christ. And saying that we are unable to do that, and asking God's Holy Spirit to empower us to righteous living. You see, it's not about us being righteous. It's about us dying to ourselves and Christ's righteousness living through us. So as we sing this again, I pray that we commit ourselves to God. We surrender. We ask Him to empower us, and that we ask Him to move mightily among us.
Was deep, Your grace was deeper. Yeah.
What a beautiful name it is, Jesus. I was just thinking, just a little mini sermon here. You don't have to pay any extra for this, I'm just saying. You know, as we, what the thought that was crossing my mind as we, you know, praying for revival and thinking about revival and seeing what's going on at Asbury, what was coming to my mind is, if we're honest, part of that excites us and part of it scares us to death. Yes? Am I getting real here or what? I think revival in us personally and you know, corporately comes out of desperation. And if things are kind of going pretty good in our life, you know, it's like, man, things are going pretty good. I don't want to disrupt that. But as a minister, when I see people really pressing into God, it's out of desperation. The doctor says it's cancer. Or you come home and a spouse says, I don't want to be married anymore. Those sort of things. And I just want to say this about as we think and as we pray and as we press into possible revival, that we're yearning for that. When God moves, it's always a good thing. When he moves, it's never a bad thing. And so, I don't know, that was just kind of my heart as we were worshiping and as we're praying for revival. It's like, man, we don't have to fear the Lord in that way. We don't have to fear him moving and changing and disrupting our comfortable stuff. Because I've never known any situation where the Lord has moved and it's been a bad thing. So, you don't have to pay any extra for that. It's just a little mini message. Take that if you will. All right, so want to welcome you again and welcome our live stream worshipers again. If you are a guest, the greatest compliment that I ever get when someone visits our church is we could feel the Spirit there. And if I hope that and pray that that is you this morning, if you are a guest, that you feel the Spirit of God in this place and that you feel the love of God's people in this place. There's a card in the seat pocket in front of you for our guests as guest registration has a blue stripe. And, you know, I've had people in the past have said, you know, we visited churches where nobody greets us and nobody seems to care if we're there. We like you being here. And we hope that you feel welcome and feel loved in this place. And we'd like to get to know you. I'd like to get to know you on a personal level. So at the end of the service, I'll be out in the foyer and would love to greet you, have a free gift for our guests. You're not going to be able to deposit it in your bank account or anything, but it's still a free gift, Robert. All right. Turn with me, if you would, to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. Now, set this up, you know, the Apostle Paul, he has had this young man, Timothy, that he's been mentoring, and Paul he's writing this letter to him. He's coming to the end of his life, and he's writing this letter to him from prison, and he knows that time is short for him, and it's almost like his final words of advice and counsel to Timothy. We pick it up in chapter 4, 2 Timothy 4, verse 3, and he says this, "For the time will come, Timothy, the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear." It almost sounds like he's talking about today, doesn't it? "They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths." Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we forgive us if we fear that you would disrupt us, but we invite you. We invite you because we know you love us. We invite you to come and speak to us. Speak to our hearts in power and authority. And transform us in Jesus' name. Amen. So, TV these days is kind of a barren wasteland. Anybody else notice that? I mean, you know, I think the shows that come out, the series that come out, most of them are like, oh, man, that's just disgusting. So Cheryl and I, I've said this before, but we like to wind down our evenings with a classic called Andy Griffith. Anybody else like Andy Griffith? Now, I will say this, Barney drives my wife absolutely nuts. She's like, how can anybody be that crazy and stupid and do all these things? He's always causing trouble. But Andy Griffith, we kind of wind down our evenings. We've gone through that series two or three times, the whole from series one all the way to the end. And Andy has a lot of wisdom. You know, we can learn a lot from Andy. I want you to watch this particular clip. I ran across this a while back, and he's dispensing some of that wisdom. Go ahead.
Well, Sheriff, it's an honor. Where's Opie?
He's in school.
Drag up someone and sit down. I'm making a new fish lure. I gave the other one I had to Opie.
Yeah, he showed it to me when he told me about the chicken dinner.
Well, that, too bad about that poor bird. Run down the middle of the road by a new sports car. I tried to get the license number, but you understand all that dust and everything.
What run over the pie?
Pie was the pie.
Well, that's not why I'm here.
Good.
It's about Opie.
Something wrong?
Yeah, there's something wrong.
You ate too much?
No, it goes a little deeper than that.
Well, what is it? You know, I've grown awful fond of that young fellow. What's wrong?
Well, there seems to be something wrong with his thinking. He's gotten a little twisted on things lately. Like being able to tell the difference between right and wrong.
Oh.
Not that that's an easy thing. A lot of grown-ups still struggling with that same problem. But it's especially difficult for a youngster. Because things rub off on them so easy.
I see. You're suggesting that maybe I'm not fit company for Opie?
That would seem to be the case.
Well, Sheriff, maybe I do look at things differently than other people. Is that wrong? I live by my wits. I'm not above bending the law now and then to keep clothes on my back or food in my stomach. I live the kind of life that other people would just love to live if they only had the courage. Who's to say that the boy would be happier your way or mine? Why not let him decide?
No, I'm afraid it don't work that way. You can't let a young'un decide for himself. He'll grab at the first flashy thing with shiny ribbons on it. Then when he finds out there's a hook in it, it's too late. Wrong ideas come packaged with so much glitter, it's hard to convince him that other things might be better in the long run. All a parent can do is say, wait, trust me, and try to keep temptation away.
That means that you're inviting me to leave.
That's right.
Well, you're wearing a badge, so I leave. That wasn't so difficult. Your problem solved.
That's where you're wrong. That boy thinks just about everything you do is perfect. So my problem's just beginning. You've left behind an awful lot of unscrambling to be done.
Now look here.
Goodbye, Mr. Dave.
Well, first let me say that, see, that Andy confirmed that glitter is evil. I'm just saying. I've been telling y'all. But you know, he's given that lesson for how to raise a child, but that's what our culture's doing. We you know, when we see these things dressed up with shiny ribbons and glitter, and we don't realize there's a hook in it. We continue the sermon series, Authentic Christianity, and I wanna just remind you, as I've done every week, that this is not about judging others and their walk with the Lord, but it's about examining our own walk with the Lord. What does an authentic Christian look like as we examine ourselves? And today's message is a Christian embraces truth. And just, you know, Jesus talks over and over and over. I believe it's 78 or so times in the New Testament, in the four Gospels, where Jesus refers to something. He makes a statement, I tell you the truth. Just that word, truth, indicates that there's truth. But it also indicates that there's something besides truth, that there is the opposite of that, which is really a lie. We have in our culture these two competing views, these two competing worldviews for our hearts and minds. It's going on all the time. I want to jump right into the handout in your bulletin. The first thing I want us to talk about is an authentic Christian embraces truth because what we believe results in life or death. These are eternal things that we're talking about. It's not just like we want to have truth so that we can convince someone that we're right and they're wrong. These are eternal things that are going on. And as we look at, we have someone who is against truth. We refer to him as Satan. John chapter 8, verse 44, Jesus says these words. He says of the devil, he was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth. There is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native tongue, for he is a liar and the father of lies. And he's referring all the way back to the garden. God sets up this paradise, and he has Adam and Eve in this paradise, and he gives them the run of the place, and he says, you've got the run of the place, enjoy this perfect fellowship with me, and everything is as it should be, but he gives them a choice. You can enjoy the blessings that I've given you, or you can go your own way. And guess what? They went their own way. And many of us don't blame Adam and Eve, because we would go our own way as well. So God says, if you eat of this fruit, if you do what I've asked you not to do, if you eat of this fruit, you will surely die. And listen to Satan's response. He says this, you will not surely die. Immediately, he begins to contradict God's truth. You eat of this fruit, you will surely die. You will not surely die, the serpent said to the woman, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Is that not our culture today? It's like, you will not surely die. You know, if you go your own way, if you do it this way, that's okay. It's there's nothing wrong with that. Proverbs, two times in Proverbs we see this. There is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. When we go our own way, it may seem right, it may feel right, and the world may tell us it's right, but when we go our own way and it's contrary to what God has told us to do, it always leads to death. We have to understand that if we want to walk out our Christian faith, if we want to have an authentic walk with the Lord, we need to understand that that the enemy wants us to go our own way. And here's what's interesting. We talked about this at our table group on this men's summit this weekend, that not only is it just conscious decisions that we make, it's like, let's use the internet. For instance, it's like you can consciously choose to go to a site that you know you shouldn't be going to. But even if you don't make that conscious decision to go to that site, guess what? The enemy is coming after you. I use the example I told my table group, please pray for me, but I am still a Dallas Cowboy fan. And I like to read about the Cowboys. I like to read about the different players they've picked up or who got cut or who's injured. And I mean, I just like football. I like to watch it. I like to read about it. And you go to DallasCowboys.com and you're reading this, and it's like, over here, it's like, hey, Dallas Cowboy cheerleader calendar shoot. Let's see if we go check that out. And I don't, by the way. But it's just right there, and it's like, I didn't go to look at that. But it's right there going, just click. That's a good thing. Go click right there. So even if we aren't making conscious decision, the devil's coming after us. There is a struggle, life and death. He wants death for us, because when we go our own way, it never ends well. In fact, it ends in death. But Jesus said that the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I've come to give you life. When we choose to go his way, it's always leads to good things in our life, blessings in our life. He comes, this enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I've come that you may have life and have it to the full. Jesus also says, John 8, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. There's freedom It's not bondage in the truth. There's freedom in the truth. We must understand that there is a true battle for life or death in our lives. Again, Paul to Timothy in 1 Timothy says, God our Savior wants all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. The truth. We're unpacking that a little bit more. Secondly, an authentic Christian embraces truth because we, once we've accepted Christ, we are filled with the Spirit of truth and sanctified by the Word of truth, God's Word. So, the Holy Spirit, God, did you know when we talk about the triune God, the Trinity, did you know that's all God? It's not like a hierarchy, like the Father's up here and Jesus is down below him and the Holy Spirit. It's God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, God himself, the triune God. And Jesus refers to the Spirit as the Spirit of truth. So when we accept Christ, again, throughout Scripture we're told we accept Christ, we repent of our sins, and we are filled with the Holy Spirit. So that means God himself comes and dwells among us and dwells in us. And the Spirit of truth, so the Spirit of truth will live in you and he will guide you into all truth. That's what's happening when, again, back to my example, when that little button over here says, go check out the calendar shoot, the Spirit of truth is going, don't do that. Don't do that. Jesus said, not only will we be filled with the Spirit of truth who will guide us into all truth, but he said we will be sanctified, which means to be purified. We will be sanctified by the truth. Your word is truth. We must get into the Word. That was a message over and over and over. All four of our speakers and many of the people that spoke this weekend talked about the importance of being in God's Word, to be sanctified by the truth of God's Word. Again, in 2 Timothy, the Holy Scriptures are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. 2 Thessalonians, from the beginning, God chose you to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit and through belief in the truth. Okay, now I want to spend a little more time on number three. An authentic Christian embraces truth because Jesus is the truth. And he gave his life for me. Jesus didn't say, I'm a way, a truth, and a lie. No, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So if someone is debating that whole idea of, well, can you go to heaven and can you really be a Christian, go to heaven, people that don't know Jesus or don't profess Jesus. Well, that's above my pay grade to assign heaven and hell. That's not my job. But I know this, Jesus said, you go to heaven through me. So my responsibility is to tell people about Jesus and tell people the need that we have for Jesus. The law was given, John chapter 1, the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus. Now, y'all heard me say this many times, but sometimes my head just is going to explode, some of the stuff that's going on in our culture, especially coming out of the church. About 2 months ago, I received a Christmas letter from a pastor that I know. And I won't read the whole letter to you, but I'll read a couple of sentences here that's significant. This is a Christmas letter. It's from a pastor, Robert. Did I say that? Someone who stands behind the pulpit and is supposed to share the Word of God to people. And here's what it says. Every year, I remind myself and others that Jesus is the King, the newborn King of Jerusalem, and that he/she alone is the real reason for this Christmas season. When pastors don't even know if Jesus was a man or a woman, I mean, in the flesh, God became flesh in the person of Jesus Christ. We don't even know that Jesus was a man or a woman. Houston, we got a problem. The truth will set us free. Jesus is the truth. And I mean, I'm pretty sure he was a man. I mean, then I've shared this before, but years ago, when I was getting my education, this was a Christian university, and I went to four of them, different. So I won't tell you which one it was, because I don't want to, you know, cause any issues here. But I was taking a class, and I wrote a paper, and got a good grade on the paper. But man, there was red marks and comments all on this paper. And I was reading, and I was like, I think I made him mad. I was just basically sharing the gospel in this paper. And I went to Cheryl, and I said, does he seem mad to you? Yeah, he seems mad to me. So I went to him, and I said, can I meet with you after class? And so I went, and we're talking. I said, did I make you mad? And he went to explain why and all. Felt like I was being insensitive to others, basically sharing the gospel. And as I was listening to him, I got the distinct impression that he believed everyone in and outside of Christ was going to heaven. And so I just asked him, I said, Professor, do you believe everybody's going to heaven? And he didn't even hesitate, and he said, yes, I do. And I said, so I sat there a second, and I said, so why did Jesus have to die on a cross? What's that about? And here's what he said. I'm not sure he did. This is the head of a religion department speaking into the lives of young people, and he's would tell you he's a Christian and he's not sure Jesus was crucified for his sins. Houston, we got a problem. We got a truth problem. Amen. A time will come, I think a time is here, when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn away their ears from the truth and to turn aside to myths. And what better thing to say, hey, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you believe in Jesus. It doesn't matter if you're this religion or that religion or no religion. It doesn't matter. None of those things matter because you're going to be in heaven. And you can behave any way you want to, and you can succumb to any sin you want to. You're going to be in heaven. So don't, no sweat. That almost sounds like itching ears that want to hear that. If there's no heaven or hell, then why did Jesus have to die? If everyone's going to heaven, why did Jesus have to die? If there's more than one way to heaven, why did Jesus have to die? If all religions are the same, it's like, well, you know, they all basically, have you heard that one? They all basically are the same. Yeah. No! Jesus died to save me from my sin, to save you from your sin. That's different. Galatians, I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness could be gained through the law, and you talked about this, Cody, that we in and of ourselves, you know, the goal is righteousness. We in and of ourselves can't attain it. If righteousness could be gained through the law, in other words, being good, then Christ died for nothing. I want to tell you, folks, in case you haven't heard this, he didn't die for nothing. He died to set us free. He died because he loves us, and he wants to spend eternity with us in heaven. Jesus, here's the way Jesus said it. The Son of Man, speaking of himself, came to give his life as a ransom. Ransom meaning this price paid for atonement for the consequences of our sin. He paid that price as a ransom for us. Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. There is no other. He is the truth that sets us free. Church, if we're gonna be true, authentic Christians, not we have to embrace that, but we have to also share that and live it. You can bow your heads with me as the praise team comes back up. Father, forgive us. Forgive us when we simplify and minimize the cross. When we minimize the sacrifice that you have made for us. How you are the truth. How you have set us free through your sacrificial death. Thank you for paying that ransom for us, to atone us. Father, would you piece that deep down into our heart, Father, pierce us deep. Where Jesus, there's something about that name, Jesus, because of who you are. We reject the lies of the enemy, the lies that our culture has embraced. We reject those and we receive your truth, Jesus, that you have set us free. Pray it in that strong and powerful name of Jesus. Amen. I invite you to stand if you're able as we close. If you don't know that Jesus as Savior, I'm not talking about knowing about him. If you don't know him, please don't leave this place today without talking to me about that, because he loves you.
Change my heart, oh God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God. May I be like you. You are the
reminder, there'll be people down front if you need prayer this morning. I'll be out in the foyer and would love to greet you. We are filled with the Spirit of truth who guides us into all truth. We are sanctified by the truth, which is God's Word, and we have a Savior who is the truth. We should go and tell someone. God bless you. You're dismissed. Thank you. Hi, this is Pastor Jeff Hatcher with Wiley Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message from God's Word today. If you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He loves you and He wants to be your friend and your Savior. If that is you, I ask you to pray this prayer with me. Lord, I confess that I am a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior and wash me as white as snow in Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer today for the first time, I invite you to do four things. First of all, tell someone, share this decision with someone. We are better together than we are alone. And then also, I ask you to consider being baptized. Jesus Himself set the example for us by being baptized Himself, and He encourages us to do the same. And then I ask you to consider finding a Bible-believing and Bible-preaching church and plug in. Again, we are better together than alone. And then finally, I ask you to get into God's Word. It's not just because it is makes us a better person, but also because it is the living Word, and God speaks to us through His Word. The Gospel of John is a great place to begin. If I can help you be of any sort of assistance through this process, you can contact me at my email address, jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.